Mike, I love physics so much. It's my favorite class. I wish I could learn more.
OMG, Claire, I know the perfect solution.
Really, Mike? Tell me more.
Two words, physics in action.
It sounds thrilling already.
Oh, Claire, it gets even better. Let me tell you all about it. Silly Beagle Production presents Physics in Action, a podcast which showcases physics in everyday world, reaching beyond the scopes of standard textbook. Each episode brings you applications and analysis of physics in such diverse settings as sports, movies, video games, and television. We also take a look into the frontier of physics exploration. And don't forget the interviews with exciting personalities on the leading edge of physics innovation and application. So join us for our trip into the fantastic world of physics. Don't forget, you can find us on our podcast on iTunes stores under Physics in Action. And check out our website, physicsinaction.com.
It sounds so cool, Mike. I'll check it out.
Good.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Physics in Action podcast. I'm Colleen.
And I'm Nicole, and we've got another exciting episode in store for you today.
Leading off, Carrie reviews Barry Parker's book, Science 101 Physics.
This is followed by Shannon's look into the life of famous astronomer and physicist Jill Tarter.
And now, without further ado, here's Carrie.
Hi, my name is Carrie, and I read Science 101 Physics by Barry Parker. This was a physics book. It had to do with APB and APC stuff. I took APB physics last year, so it was kind of a review. But there's also some new things that I learned. I'm going to first describe some of the new things I learned and things that I found interesting, and then I'll tell you my review about the book. Each chapter was a different topic of physics, for example, waves or energy. So it's kind of separated like that, which I thought was a good idea. It covered a lot of what we learned last year, but had some newer information as well. In the introduction, it said that physics is known as the king of sciences because it is the foundation of all sciences. I thought that was pretty cool because physics was the part I liked most about sciences rather than bio or chem or something like that. The goal of physics, it said, was to try to understand how nature works and to find underlying simplicity and unity. That was a new definition to me, and I found that kind of interesting. It said that physics was very crucial to the field of medicine, which I already knew, but it also said that it's crucial to solving problems in the future, like global warming. I thought that was very interesting, and hopefully we can solve problems like that using physics and what we learn in APC. In the waves chapter, I learned under the acoustics category, I learned a new vocab word, which was reverberation, which is the number of reflections the sound makes from the wall before it dies, and they are affected by the texture of the surface in which sound is reflected. This makes sense because, now that I think about it, in chorus rooms in school, that's why the textures of the walls are different than normal classrooms, so that the acoustics are good. In the matter and energy category, I learned that alchemy is the conversion of impure base metals into pure metals such as gold and silver. That was also new to me. Atoms and molecules. John Dalton experimented with gas and atomic weight. He found that oxygen was 8 times as heavy as hydrogen, and nothing was lighter than hydrogen, so he made hydrogen have an atomic weight of 1. I knew hydrogen had an atomic weight of 1, but I didn't really know why that was the smallest, but it makes sense now, according to John Dalton's experiment. In energy, I learned that potential energy and kinetic energy are not the only two types involved when looking at the motion of a ball or any other object. Other types such as deformational, heat, chemical, nuclear, sound, or electrical are also things that take place, not only kinetic and potential. Chemical energy is what keeps us warm, and nuclear energy heats and lights your home, which I found interesting and I did not know that. When a baseball hits a bat, the ball deforms a little at the point of connection and changes into deformational energy. Since energy is conserved, and you would see that the potential energy wasn't equal to the kinetic energy because other forms, like deformational energy, are involved. It's the same thing when two cars crash. Both have kinetic energy to start, but it changes into deformational sound and heat energy, so the potential energy at the end would not equal the kinetic energy because energy is conserved. In the states of matter category, when breaking a solid, many of them have orderly arrangements of atoms called crystalline structure. And when there is no structure and no order, it's called amorphous. That was something new to me that I did not know. under fluids, I learned how a brake stop a car, and that is when you press a brake in a car, the cylinder pressurizes the brake fluid, pushes it through tubes, and leads to the wheels. The fluid is under pressure, and it is applied to small pistons that lie next to the brake pads, which then press against the rotor, and the friction created stops the car. Now makes sense why friction plays such a big part in physics. In the linear expansion, specific and latent heat category, I learned how the expansion joint of a bridge is there because of thermal expansion. When the sun hits the bridge, it heats it up, and the components tend to expand and causes it to deform. The buckle on the bridge makes it safe to drive over for any expansion that may take place. In electricity and magnetism chapter, I learned about the Leyden jar, which was invented at the Leyden University in Holland. That's how it got its name. And that played a central role in early physics because it could be used to store electrical charge. We didn't learn about that last year, so that was new to me. And it's a simple form of a capacitor, which is used in many experiments back then and today still. Under radioactivity, I learned how the periodic table was created. A Russian chemist began working with elements, and at the time only 60 were known, and he had cards with their chemical properties. He realized later that if you place those cards in certain rows and columns, that cards in the same rows and columns had similar properties. So he lined them up like that, and he left gaps where there were problems, and then he realized later that those gaps were unknown elements yet to be discovered. This became known as the periodic table, and those undiscovered elements were discovered and put in place according to the rows and columns so that similar properties lined up. Einstein helped prove the existence of atoms kind of by mistake one day while he was putting sugar into his tea at a cafe talking with a friend. It had to do with the size of the molecule going into the sugar, going into the tea. And I thought that was interesting how he did it by mistake, but that's what makes him such a great guy. Under the quantum physics section, I learned that Wolfgang Pauli explained the problem with beta decay. They knew that such a change would involve a definite energy, and the beta particle should have come out with energy, and it didn't. So they had to relook at that, and he suggested that there was another particle called the neutrino that had no charge and no mass, but carried the energy that was lost. That was all that I learned. The rest of it was mostly review with formulas and stuff that I already knew. This kind of explained why things happened the way they did. As of when last year, I kind of learned how to do physics, but not really why they happened. So this book helped me to understand the underlying simplicity of physics. I liked the book because it explained it in an easy manner so that I could understand it, and somebody else who doesn't really know much physics would understand it. What I didn't like about the book is that when it explained formulas, it kind of, it talked about it in words. It didn't really have a specific formula that I could write down using, like, letters and equation signs and stuff. I think that would be easier to understand the formulas because it gives you things to plug into, but I could still get what they were trying to say, and if I look into it more, I'm sure I could understand what the formulas were about. I liked how it had different chapters with different topics of physics because it kind of separated it nicely so that I could understand all of this was about waves or all of that was about energy or whatever. It was a good book. I would recommend it if you're learning physics, either at the beginner stage or in your second or third year of physics. It's good for both. It's a good review. It really talks about a lot of important people to physics and the basics that you need to know if you want to begin studying physics. So I recommend it and you should go read it. Science 101 Physics by Barry Parker. Hope you enjoyed it. Bye.
Thanks for that summary, Carrie. Next up, we have Shannon and her exploration of Jill Tarter's contributions to the world of astronomy.
Hi, my name is Shannon, and this is the Physics in Action podcast, and today I'm going to talk about Jill Tarter. Jill Tarter said in her acceptance speech of the Technology, Entertainment, and Design Award, "I wish that you would empower Earthlings everywhere to become active participants in the ultimate search for cosmic company." While this may seem like a far-fetched wish, Jill Tarter has made monumental strides in the search for extraterrestrial life. Tarter graduated from Cornell with a degree in engineering physics and a master's degree in astronomy from the University of California, Berkeley. She worked as a project scientist for NASA's SETI, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence program, and has worked in many radio observatories around the world. When this program was canceled, she fought and succeeded in securing private funding for the SETI Institute and UC Berkeley Radio Astronomy Laboratory to continue the work. She now serves on the management board of the Allen Telescope Array, a telescope made of 350 antennas at 16 meters in diameter each that, when operated, is hoped to survey the radio universe for emissions and hasten the search for other distant technologies. When asked by Space.com what she wished to find, Tarter explained that because of the time involved to travel the distances of space, information that might arrive would have come from a time prior to our own. Therefore, information that we receive, we might study in the way we do the works of Shakespeare or the ancient Greeks, but she doesn't hold her breath. She sees her work as something that may continue through multiple generations before proof can actually be found. While involved in a highly speculative branch of science, Tarter has made concrete contributions to other branches of science. The information and technology established with telescopes like the Allen Telescope Array has and can continue to be applied to other subjects, like instantly scanning mammograms from microcalculations that have been created by colleagues of Tarter in South Florida. Tarter has also turned her brilliant mind and her dedication to helping interest young students in science in hopes that they will one day continue on in fields like hers. Tarter worked on curriculums as the principal investigator for projects funded by NASA and NSF. She created a series of teaching guides for grades 3 through 9 about the universe and created a plan for an integrated high school curriculum known as Voyages Through Time. She furthers her goal of captivating young minds by frequently speaking at schools, meetings, and museums. Jill Tarter's work has brought her recognition and respect in the scientific community. She has won many recognitions, including the Lifetime Achievement Award for Women in Aerospace, 2 Public Service Medals from NASA, Observatory Person of the Year Award, Woman of Achievement Award in Science and Technology category by the Women's Fund, and the San Jose Mercury News, and the Tesla Award for Technology at the Telluride Tech Festival. Time magazine also named her one of the Time 100 most influential people in the world. Jodie Foster also played a character in the movie Contact that was based on Jill Tarter's life and work. She was a respected figure and a role model for women and scientists alike.
Thanks, Shannon. That about wraps up this episode of Physics in Action Podcast. We'd love to hear from you. Write to us at physicsinactionpodcast@gmail.com or leave us feedback on our iTunes webpage. Just search for Physics in Action.
We greatly appreciate positive feedback on our iTunes webpage, and you can always leave us a comment on our webpage at www.physicsinaction.com. And thank you for supporting our efforts by starting your Amazon.com shopping from our webpage by clicking on the Amazon.com link on the right.
Thanks to Jeff Myers and 4Me2C for the intro and exit music tech. Music is brought to you courtesy of Mevio's Music Alley. Check it out at Mevio at music.mevio.com.